Si ujumbe mengi yatakupita, lakini hii haitakupita.
Let us welcome him with a shout and clap in an African style. Don't be a Briton, don't be an American, be a Kenyan. Amen. Everybody in a Kenyan style. Amen.
In Kenya.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
1, 2, 3. Let us welcome him.
Santa Sana, Santa Sana.
Santa Sana. Thank you so much.
Buona Safari. Today I'm going to give you two sermons. Some people like real short sermons. And some people like longer sermons. So just in case you fall asleep during the long sermon, I'm going to give you the real short version right now. So if you don't hear anything else, hear this. Jesus loves you more than you know. That was so short, I'll say it again. Jesus loves you more than you know. And it'll probably take me 45 minutes to say that the other way. It's a great honor for me to be here in this day of celebration, opening up this church. Opening up Dominion Anointing Sanctuary, Deliverance Church Megadani. And my brother, it looks like you're already out of space. So I look forward to coming back when you have your next place. I do want to clear up one thing. Earlier when my brother said, turn to somebody and say, this is a day the Lord has made. I turned to my sister and I said, Siku ni hii buona me fanya. But I don't want you to think I've been studying Swahili. On my last trip when I was in Katali, on the very last day before I left, we were praying for my departure, and the family started to sing this song. And I asked them to write it down. And I took it back home and I taught it to my children. And we sung the Swahili song all across the United States. And you may know this song. But it goes like this. Siku nihi, siku nihi, buona me fanya, buona me fanya, furahine, shangilene, shangilene. Siku nihi, buona me fanya, furahine, shangilene. Siku nihi, siku nihi, buona me fanya. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I want to bring you a message today. Truly, I believe, from the Lord. Truly a message of His love. My daughter gave me some good advice when we were up in, where we were yesterday. Kanango. She says, when you speak to people, speak as Jesus would speak. So I want to bring you a message as Jesus would bring a message to you. You see, Jesus knows that you're hurting. He knows when you struggle. He knows when your times are hard. And He wants your faith to be solid. So the title of my message is How to Maintain Faith in Times of Trial. If you brought your Bible, raise it up. How many Bibles are here?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's so encouraging to see Bibles. God's Word is good. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to first establish the problem. Then we're going to look at four steps to maintaining our faith. Read two verses, then we'll pray. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And said to him, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that You would speak to us today from Your Word, through Your Spirit, directly into our hearts. Mighty God, I pray that I would deliver Your Word today exactly as You would have it delivered. And I pray that hearts would be softened today to hear from You and believe Your Word, to trust Your Word, and to apply it into their lives, and to walk with boldness wherever You lead, no matter what trials we may go through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
First, we need to look at what's really going on in this passage. We see a man named John who's in prison. And he asks of Jesus, Are you the one? Let's start with, who is this John? First, staying in chapter 11. Go to verse 11 and see what Jesus has to say about this man named John. I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John. I want you to understand that John was a very great man. He was a man who knew Jesus. He was a man born of Elizabeth. In Luke, we see that the angel visited Mary and said, The Spirit is going to come upon you and you will have a son. And his name will be Jesus. And the angel also said, Your relative Elizabeth is going to have a son. is already 6 months pregnant. So 6 months before Jesus was born, Elizabeth had a baby boy. And she said, his name will be John. The Word of God says that Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. And that even before birth, John was filled with the Spirit. And the boy named John grew. The boy named John grew. And we see that he enters into ministry. In Luke chapter 3. Turn with me to Luke chapter 3. And we see John when he has grown and enters into ministry. Luke chapter 3, verse 3. And he went into all the region around the Jordan. Preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. You see, this John was called John the Baptist. John the Baptist knew Jesus. And in fact, in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 26, people had come to John and asked him who he was. They said, are you Elisha? Or are you one of the prophets? And John says, no. In verse 26, he says, I baptize you with water, but there stands one among you who you do not know. In verse 27, he says, this is one whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. In verse 29, when he sees Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb of God. But something happens to John. Go back to Matthew. In chapter 14, we read about what happens to John during his time of ministry. Chapter 14, verse 3 of Matthew. It says, for Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison. He put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, the brother of Philip's wife. Because John had said to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. You see, John was bold enough to stand up and say, what you're doing is wrong. You have taken the wife of your brother and it is wrong. So Herod took John and put him in prison. And while in prison, John began to doubt. He said, why is this happening to me? I follow Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I proclaim Jesus. and now I'm in prison. So he sends his disciples. And he asks, are you really the one? We see John beginning to doubt. So we establish the problem. When trials come in our life, our faith can be shaken. Our faith can be shaken. So we want to look at four steps to seeing how our faith can be solid when the trials of life come. Step one. We need to realize that we're not alone. So many times when we have trials and we begin to doubt, we're feeling like we're the only one that this could happen to. We feel that we're weak. We feel we're all alone. But I'm here to tell you, if it can happen to John, it can happen to any one of us. If John the Baptist can question, our faith can also be shaken. We are not alone. Step two. We need to recall what God has already done. And I love what you've already said here. Because we can look right out this window to a building with purple windows. And we can see what God has done. God has done mighty things for this church. And each of us can look back in our own lives. And we can see things that God has already done. We can see trials that He's already seen us through. And that can give us strength for the trials ahead. There's a wonderful story about this in the Old Testament. In the book of 1 Samuel. Take your time, find 1 Samuel. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 17. This is a story about David and Goliath. A story that we teach children from very young. Where we see David going against the mighty Goliath. But buried in this story is a word from God that gives us great hope. You see, David was a very small man. And I don't even think he had a loud voice. And Goliath was a very big man. And when David stood up and he told King Saul, I will go against this giant. Saul looked at him and he said, how can you possibly fight this giant? In chapter 17, verse 34. But David said to Saul, Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when the lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, he said, when the lion came, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. Verse 36, it says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them. Now here's the verse that you need to underline. Verse 37. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. What David is saying is that I have already seen God work in my life. Seen him work. And I have no reason to doubt him now. I may be facing a giant, but the same God that was with me against the lion and the bear is this very same God who will be with me against the giant. And when we face trials today, we need to recall what God has already done. The God who walked with us in the past is the very same God walking with us now. The very same God who will continue to walk with us all of our days. There's no reason to doubt him now. Turn back to Matthew 11. Because I want you to see that this is the same thing Jesus told the disciples. When John's disciples had come and asked Jesus, are you the one? Jesus answered him in verse 4. He said, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. He says, go and see what I'm doing. Of course I'm the one. So again, look back in your life and see what he's done. And know that he's the one. And know that he's the one. Know. But you may say, Steve, I haven't seen God work in my past. I'm new to the faith. And I haven't seen God work. And that very thing is one of the reasons we gather together. That's a reason why we come together and share what God has done. That's the reason that we testify. So that I can look to my brother and I can say, the same God who's worked in his life is the God who will work in my life. The same God who's worked in my brother's life is the same God who's worked in my life. The same God who's worked in my sister's life is the same God who will work in my life. We need to recall the things that God has already done. Third thing. We need to receive His reconciliation. And let me explain. Because without reconciliation to God, the other stuff doesn't matter. We can't claim God's power. We can't claim Him to go fight our giants. We can't recall what He's done and apply it into our lives without first being reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. One of the main messages that I brought to Africa this time was, what is the faith? What is the purpose of Jesus Christ? Turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians is a letter written by Paul to the church in a city called Colossae. And in the first chapter of this letter, he explains to us why Jesus came. Chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Christ all the fullness should dwell. And now verse 20. And in Christ to reconcile all things to Himself. The single purpose of Christ. The single purpose of His sacrifice on the cross was that through the forgiveness of sin, we can be reconciled back to God. This is what it means to be saved. Is to be restored into a relationship with God. So to walk in faith when things get hard, we have to first receive His reconciliation. We first need to place our faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and be restored into a relationship with God. For you see, sometimes the very purpose of our trials, the very purpose of our hardships, sometimes is because God loves us so much that He wants to bring us to that point where we finally see we need to be restored to a loving Father. Where we can finally see, I need to believe in Jesus. Where we can see, I've been coming to church. I've been doing a bunch of things, but I've never truly believed. Our trials can do that to us. Our trials can strip everything else away and allow us to see our true need for Christ. Lastly, Number four. You need to remember His plan. You see, when God created the world, He created all things. And then He created man. And He blessed him. And He loved him. And He had a relationship with man. He walked with him in the garden. He rejoiced with him. He cared for him. And man loved him in return. But then by the third chapter of Genesis, Adam and Eve ate the fruit and sinned. And you see, what that did was it took the relationship and it broke it. And God had to cast man out of His presence. And all the rest of God's Word is restoring us to what was broken. Restoring us to that original relationship. Now here's the part we really need to understand. His plan is for complete restoration. That means when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, He begins the process of complete restoration. Turn to the book of Romans. Chapter 8. You see, when man was first created by God, remember what it says, that God created man in His own image. We were created to be in the image of God. To be in a relationship. And sin broke that. In chapter 8 of Romans, in verse 29, we see how God's plan is continuing. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. You see, we need to remember God's plan so we're not surprised when our trials come. God's plan is to restore us to the image of His Son. Now back up one verse and see where this follows. In verse 28 of Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. All things work together for good. Now, what is God's good? It is conforming us to the image of Christ. So when our trials come, we need to understand that is part of God's process of conforming us to the image of His Son. Our trials are not a punishment from God. It's a way that He uses to mature us. To grow us and take us to the next place He wants us to be. We see that again in the book of James. In James chapter 1, he speaks directly to our trials and lets us know that the purpose of our trials is to draw us closer to God. James chapter 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Can we really do that? Can we really count it joy when we fall into trials? We can't unless we understand what God is doing. If we don't understand God's plan, we will never rejoice in trials. But if we understand, we can rejoice. Because it says in verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, not lacking anything. James is saying that the purpose of our trials is to perfect us. Oh, I know. I wish there was another way. I wish sometimes that I could just sit in a corner and read His Word and be perfected. Or just listen to a great preacher and be perfected. But we can't. Because we never understand the real truths of God's Word until He sends us into the storms. And we're required to trust Him more than we think we're able. And we're required to go beyond our own strength. When we're required to say, God, You're truly all I have. That's when we're truly being restored. And that's when we're being conformed to the image of His Son. And if we can see that and believe it, I'm here to say we can rejoice in our trials. You see, in the book of Jeremiah, you don't have to turn there. God says through the prophet Jeremiah, He says, I know the plans that I have for you. And my plans are not to harm you, but my plans are to give you hope and a future. You see, Jesus loves you more than you know. Can we say He loves us enough to send us through trials? He loves us enough to grow us and mature us. God loves us enough to conform us into the image of His Son. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I came to give you life. I came to give you life in abundance. And the abundant life can only be had When we come to a place of trusting Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, no matter how hard things get, no matter how difficult our circumstances, that we can testify that He is God. He is the one in whom I place my trust. I do not place my trust in other people, because they will desert me. They will let me down. But our God in heaven will never let us down. And we need to believe that in times of trials. So how do we maintain our faith in times of trials? We first need to remember that we are not alone. Brothers and sisters all over this church, all over Kenya, and all over the world are going through trials right now. They're beginning to wonder where God is and if He can be trusted. You are not alone. And we need to recall what God has already done. We need to encourage one another that God is our God of hope. That He will never leave us or forsake us. We need to share the victories that we've had in the past. We need to tell about how God has stood by us to fight the lions and the bears. And we need to encourage each other that God can stand by you when you fight the giants. We need to receive His reconciliation. If trials today are bringing you to the point of realizing that you never have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then today you need to understand that God is calling you. Calling you in the middle of your trials. To call upon Him and be restored into a relationship with God. And fourth, we need to remember His plan. Our walk does not end at the moment of our salvation. For the rest of our days, until the day He calls us home, we are in the process of being conformed to the image of His Son. Sometimes that process is painful. As He is molding us, He finds some rough edges. Some edges that need to be rubbed off hard. Some edges that need to be chipped away. But we need to trust Him and place our life in His hand. And to say, Father, what I want more than anything else is to be conformed into the image of Jesus. So I place my life in Your hands. And in the middle of these trials, I trust You. I trust You more than I ever have before. I trust You more than I even thought that I could. Because I believe in Your plan for me. And if we will walk this path, then no matter how hard the enemy tries to shake us, faith. We can remain strong. We can continue to walk with Him. To be an example in our community. To be an example in our family. That no matter what the world may throw at me, I trust in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. As we're praying, I know that there's some people here that need special prayer. There's people here that are going through special trials. Trials that they don't understand. Trials that they don't know that they can continue. And yet we want to tell them that God is good. All the time God is good. And that He loves them so much. So if you are here today and you just would need a special prayer, that you need special prayer in your time of trials, I'd ask that you just raise your hand so we can pray for you today. If you'd like special prayer, just raise your hand. Amen. We see your hands. Raise them high. Raise them high. Special prayer today for your child. And as we pray, I'd ask the rest of the church to just join us in prayer for these brothers and sisters who have raised their hands and they say, we need a special prayer from the Lord today. We need special strength to rise up. Heavenly Father, I ask that you give a special touch to these today. These who are walking through hardships that need an extra encouragement today. Father, I would ask that you make yourself real to them. Father, we all go through trials. We all come to the place of wondering where you are. And Father, we need brothers and sisters around us who will lift us up. So right now we pray for these. And we ask that you would bless them in the times of trial. That you would strengthen them. That you would make your plan known to them. That you would cause them to see you in a new and exciting way. That you would remove all doubt. That you would let them know that you can be trusted. And that you would give them strength to follow you. Each and every step through their journey of trials. And see them through to the next level of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.